So today, the title of my sermon is The Prayer of the Righteous. The Prayer of the Righteous. You know, when you listen to the news, you hear a lot about adversaries of different nations. America's adversary, like Russia, like the Talibans, like the Islamic States. You hear a lot of things about physical adversaries. But as God's people, we have a more powerful adversary that is invisible, that you cannot see. We don't see him, yet he is fighting us every day by day. And his mission, right from time, has been to overthrow God and take the position of God. And that is what he's doing every day by day. He wants to overthrow God. He wants to take the place of God inside of us. He wants to live inside of us instead of God living inside of us. He's working hard every day by day to achieve this. We have no horses. We have no chariots. We have no physical weapons. And even though we have, we cannot use it against him because he is a spirit and he is invincible. But God has equipped us with the power to overcome him through prayers. If you turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10, 4. Corinthians 10:4. It said, "For the weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." That is where our strength lies. It's not carnal. Our strength lies in God and in the trust we have in God and in all his promises. And if you turn to Psalm 121. You know, Charlie was talking about spiritual bugs. Spiritual bugs. This is how we overcome the spiritual bugs. Psalms 121. From verse 1. It says, "I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From hence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth." That is where our help comes from. That is where our strength comes from. If we remove our eyes from God, then we are doomed. We must always go to God for help. We must always call on God's name and ask him to intervene, because that is the only strength and the power we have. And Jesus Christ knew very well the importance of prayers. And when he came here on earth, he started his ministry with prayers. And he also taught his disciples, including us, how to pray. If you turn to Matthew 6, prayers is part of what we believe. We cannot do without prayers. For us to be righteous, to walk according to God's way, we have to pray. We have to be strong in prayers. Matthew 6. From verse 5. Jesus Christ said, "And when you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corner of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you pray, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. After this manner therefore pray: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So Jesus Christ taught us how to pray. And when you look at this prayer here, you see that our prayers are very effective, very powerful. Jesus Christ said, I should pray, thy kingdom come. So God's kingdom can come on earth because of our prayers, if we pray. Jesus Christ said we should ask God to deliver us from all evil. So God is the only one that can deliver us from all evil. No one else can. Jesus Christ did not stop at teaching how to pray. Jesus Christ assured us that whenever we pray, that God will hear us and give us what we are asking. If you turn to Mark chapter 7, Mark 7, Mark 7, And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believe you shall receive. Jesus Christ said, if we ask anything, that we should believe that we shall receive it. And Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So Jesus Christ gave us this assurance that when we pray, that God will give it to us, whatsoever desire that we have. And when we pray, God will hear us and he will give it to us. John 14:13. John 14:13. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And he says in John 14:13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So Jesus did not only teach how to pray, Jesus assured us strongly that when we pray and whenever we pray, that God will answer us and he will give to us our request. Does this apply to everybody? Does this apply to everybody, both the righteous and the wicked? Anyway, when the wicked prays a prayer of repentance, God hears. But the Bible says that the prayer or the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination before God. And if you turn to Proverbs 16, let's see Proverbs 16. So God delights in the prayers of the righteous. Proverbs 16:29 says, Proverbs 16:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. God hears the prayer of the righteous. And Proverbs 15:8. Proverbs 15:8. Proverbs 15:8 says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. So God is happy when we communicate with him, when we talk to him, when we make our request. And if you turn to the book of James, chapter 5, James 5, 16. James 5, 16. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. He said, the fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. The fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. So God hears us when we pray, and this is the power we have. And this power has no limit. There's no limit to this power that God has given to us. And let's see what Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians. Philippians 4. Philippians 4. From verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. Say, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let your requests be made known unto God. The question today is, how much can we do with prayer? Are there times we think that we can no longer pray because it's all over? There's nothing we can do about this anymore. At there times we are so tired to pray because of the situation and the circumstances. At there times we think that if we pray now, God will not hear us. I just want us to look at a few cases in the Bible, few extreme cases in the Bible where God's people prayed and God answered. There are so many of them in the Bible. But let's look at few, just few. Let's turn to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. The book of Jonah, chapter 1. Jonah, chapter 1. And let's go to 14, Jonah 1:14. So we know the story of Jonah, how God sent him to Nineveh to go and tell them that God would destroy the nation if they don't repent. But Jonah decided to go his own way. We know the story, how he entered, he found a ship and entered inside it, and God caused the sea to become turbulent, for them. And let's read from 11, 1 to 14. So he said, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, referring to Jonah, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. So Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. It's easier to read it like this than to be in that situation. In the belly of the fish, in the digestive system of the fish. According to science, they said the stomach of a whale is full of acid. It's acidic. Just like our stomach can melt a metallic spoon, the acidic content of our stomach. So the stomach or the belly of the fish is so acidic, digestive system. Jonah was there 3 days and 3 nights. What did Jonah do? If you turn to Jonah 2, go to 2. Jonah 2, in the belly of the fish, 3 days and 3 nights, said, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by the reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the sea, and all the flood compassed me about, all thy billows, and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, unto thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanity forsake thy own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto the Lord with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry ground. After 3 days and 3 nights, in the belly of the fish, Jonah was able to remember the Lord his God and made these prayers. And God delivered him from the belly of the fish. Sometimes we don't even find ourselves in situations like this. In the belly of the fish, yet Jonah was able to pray. The prayer of the righteous is so effective. The prayer of the righteous has no bound. There's no bounds to what God can do. God can do everything. God can do anything he wants to do. So Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And when he prayed to God, God delivered him from corruption, from the digestive system of a fish. God brought Jonah out. Can God do the same for us? The answer is yes. God can do the same for us. Only if we can remember God when our hearts faint, we remember God and pray to him sincerely, God can hear us. God can deliver us. And if you go to the book of Matthew 12, 40, you see Jesus Christ compared the belly of the fish to a grave. It's just like a grave being in the grave, bringing someone out of the grave. If you go to Matthew 12, 40, Jesus Christ said, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So, being in the belly of the fish, just like the grave, the next thing is, you know, the person will be reduced to into smaller size that is absorbable by the fish. But God did not allow that to happen to Jonah, because Jonah prayed to God and God heard him. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. Okay, from 13. 2 Chronicles 7, from 13. God said, "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." If we can humble ourselves and pray to God and ask for help and turn from our evil ways, just like Jonah did, God said he would turn everything around. He would turn everything around. This was an extreme situation where the prayer of the righteous did marvelous. Let's look at another case in the book of John 11:32. I did Jonah first because John 11:32, Jesus Christ brought Lazarus back to life. And we will say, "Oh, because he's Jesus Christ, he's the Son of God." No, simply because he prayed. He prayed. John 11. John 11:32. "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, 'Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died.' When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said unto him, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, 'Behold how he loved him.' And some of them said, 'Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?' Jesus therefore again groaned in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, 'Take you away the stone.' Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, 'Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days.' Jesus said unto her, 'Said I not unto thee that if thou would believe, thou should see the glory of God?' Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank thee that thou hearest me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of these people, we stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus has spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and feet with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. So a man that was dead for 4 days came back to life simply because of the prayer of the righteous. Jesus Christ prayed and God answered, and God gave back Lazarus his life. After 4 days of being in the grave, Lazarus came forth. Why? Because of the prayer of the righteous. This is how much we can do with the prayer that we, with the power that God has given to us. To pray, to come before him and ask anything according to his will, and ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Our prayers can do a lot. Our prayers can do a lot. Lazarus came back to life after 4 days in the grave because Jesus Christ the righteous prayed to God. There is no time that we can say that it is all over. There is no time that we can say that it is all over. There is no time that we can say it is very late to call on God, to go on our knees and pray to God for help. There is no time. Let's remember, God delights in our prayer. I want us to look at another case in the book of Kings, in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Now, we've seen Jonah, we've seen Lazarus, and now let's look at King Asa, the king of Judah, in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. So, Asa was the king of Judah. He became the king of Judah after his father, King Abijah, died. So Asa became the king. And the Bible said that he did that which pleased God, because he encouraged the people to throw away their idols and to fear God and to keep his commandments. But a time came when Asa had a problem. Asa had a problem. And let's see what Asa did. 2 Chronicles 14:8. Second Chronicles 14:8. I'm still looking for it. Okay. I found it. And Asa had an army of men that bear target and spear out of Judah, 300,000. And out of Benjamin that bear shield and drew bows, 280,000. So, if you put everything together, Asa have 580,000 soldiers. 9. And there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with an host of 1,000,000. So when you put 1,000,000, 3 zeros and 3 zeros, you get 1,000,000. So King Zerah, the Ethiopian, came against them with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots and came up to Merasa. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatha at Merasa. What did Asa do? And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God. For we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. That was the prayer of Asa in the battlefield before the multitude that came against him. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And the Ethiopian fled with millions of soldiers, and Asa had few soldiers, but he stopped and he remembered the Lord in this situation, and he called on God and he asked for help. And the Bible said God fought this battle for them. The Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gera, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host. And they carried away very much spoil, and they smote all the cities round about Gera, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoils in them. So, another case of a righteous man calling on God, and God came down from heaven and fought a physical battle. A physical battle. God fought for them. There is nothing, like Charlie read somewhere in Jeremiah 32, there is nothing hard for God to do. We just need to do our part. We just need to remember to do our part. Because sometimes we are weary, sometimes we are tired, sometimes we think that the situation is so bad that we cannot pray to God and ask for help. Asa prayed, and God came down and fought for them. Their physical battle. If you turn to Psalm 50, the book of Psalms 50. Psalms 50. Psalms 50, 15. Psalms 50, 15. Say, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify my name. This is a promise. God said, call upon me in the days of trouble. Only if we can remember to call on God. Say, I will deliver you. This is a promise. And if you turn to Psalm 20, Psalm 27, the book of Psalms 20, 7. 20 from verse 7. Psalms 27. It says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but for us, we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That is what we need to do. God wants us to remember him in the time of trouble. If you turn to Isaiah, Isaiah 31. Isaiah 31. From verse 1. Isaiah 31 from verse 1. In case you have your trust or your mind in somewhere else where you think you can get help, look at what Isaiah says. Say, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he is wise. He also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back his sword, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them that walk iniquity. So, say, woe to them that go to Egypt for help. Psalm 121 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. He said specifically, he said, my help comes from the mighty God which made the heaven and the earth. The Bible says, woe to anyone who go to elsewhere to seek for help. Because God has given us the assurance. God has taught us how to pray, have given us the assurance that when we pray, that he will intervene, that he will answer us. And we've seen in the Bible the case of Jonah, Lazarus, Asa, where people prayed in extreme situations, and God came and delivered them. So we have no reason. There's nothing to discourage us about. God will answer us when we pray. If we only can remember and humble ourselves according to 2 Chronicles 7 and humble ourselves and repent from our sin and ask God for help, God assures us that he will help us. Let's look at another case in the Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter 16. The book of Acts 16. Acts 16 from 16. Acts 16 from verse 16. Acts 16 from verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to pray, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. So why did the prison door open? Because Paul and Silas prayed. Paul and Silas prayed to God, and God opened the prison doors. This was a physical prison door. But we have different types of prison doors in our life. The things we struggle with, the things that are holding us down, that weakness that Satan is holding on so strongly to pull us back. That's like the prison. And if we can remember God and make sincere prayer to God, God will open those prison doors. This is assured. This is how far the prayer of the righteous can go. Let's use what we have. Let's use the power that God has given to us. We don't have guns. We don't have weapons. We have no strength in the face of the world. But this is the only strength we have. And this is the greatest power anybody can possess in the whole universe. To be a child of God and to ask anything, and God hears you. So Paul and Silas prayed, and the prison doors were open. God opened the prison doors because they prayed and called upon God. Let's turn to Psalm 35, the book of Psalms 35. Psalms 35, 19. I think I'm in the wrong place. Okay, but I was trying to take you to where the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers him from all of them. We may be afflicted left and right, front and back. No matter how severe, how bad, how strong the enemy is, the Bible says God will deliver us. God will deliver us. I'll get the scripture. I'll fix it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers him from all of it. I want us to look at another case in the Bible, in the book of Exodus chapter 17. The book of Exodus chapter 17. There is nothing our prayer cannot do. There is nothing God cannot do when we pray to him. Exodus 17. Exodus 17 from verse 1. Exodus 17:1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide you me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?" And the people tested there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord. Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto these people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod with thee that smootest the river. Take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" So in a place where there were no water to drink, Moses prayed, and God provided water for these people. What else? What else do we need before we can begin to trust this God? There was no water for the people to drink, no wells, no river, no sea, nothing around. But God provided water for his people to drink. If you turn to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43:19. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and river in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give water in the wilderness and river in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. So God is able to provide for us anywhere, anytime, only if we can pray and call the Lord our God and ask him for help. Do we remember God in the time of our troubles? When we are in trouble, when we are depressed, when everything is against us, do we remember God? When our life is out of hand, do we remember the Lord? Just like Jonah, Asa, Jesus Christ, Moses, Paul and Silas, do we remember God? Do we believe that God can do anything for us? Do we believe in God that much? Or do we believe in him little? Our prayers can go a long way. Don't throw away your prayer life. Don't throw away your morning prayers. Don't throw away your evening prayers. Don't throw away the prayers you do even when you are driving. I don't think that Jonah opened his mouth and prayed in the belly of the fish. I believe he prayed from his heart. I believe he prayed from his heart. A non-verbal prayer. Oh, okay. Thank you. So I was looking for Psalm 34:19, right? Psalm 34:19, that says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from all of it. So Jonah prayed from his heart. He prayed to God from his heart, from the belly of the fish. If we cannot speak, maybe we are very weak. We can still pray. If we cannot see, if we cannot read the Bible anymore, because at a point in our life, sometime in our life, we might not be able to read anymore. We might not be able to see the words in the Bible anymore. We'll rely on what we know inside of us already. We can still pray to God from our heart. We can still meditate, just like Jonah. Jonah did not have the Bible. It's possible that Jonah could not see right inside the belly of the fish. It would be dark, it would be very dark. But Jonah was able to pray and cry unto God, and God brought him out. If you turn to Jeremiah chapter 32, the book of Jeremiah 32:7. Jeremiah 32:7. Jeremiah 32:27. Sorry. Jeremiah 32:27. Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? There's nothing too hard for God. If you go back to Genesis 1, you see that God did not use his hand. God did not use much of his strength. God just used the word of his mouth and said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be firmament, and the firmament came into place. Let the waters above be separated from the waters below, and it was so, just spoken words. Let the waters go to in a place, and let dry land come forth, and it was so. Let the waters bring forth living things, and it was so. Just the word of his mouth is so powerful. He has not even used his hand. That is how great God is. And he's saying, is there anything too hard for me to do? There's nothing too hard for God to do. And I'll take you back to, we actually read today, Jeremiah 32, 17. Jeremiah 32, 17. Jeremiah 32, 17. And he said, ah, Lord, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretch out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. There is nothing too hard for God. We are the ones that limit God because of our unbelief. We are the ones that say, oh, maybe God will not do it because of our unbelief. For God, God is who he is. The same God that delivered Jonah, the same God that gave Lazarus back his life, the same God that fought the battle for Asa, the same God that gave them water in the wilderness, the same God that divided the Red Sea, the same God that cut off Jordan and fell the walls of Jericho is still the God we serve today. And he says, is there anything hard for me to do? Nothing, brethren. God does not change. He is our God. He is our Father. Let us remember to go on our knees and call on God. And God will deliver us from that spiritual bog. God will save us from his hands. He's so powerful, but our prayers are more powerful than he. Let's go to Ephesians 6:10, the last scriptures for today, Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians 6:10. Say, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day evil days, and having done all, stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about thy truth, about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, brethren, I want to encourage us. I want to encourage us today. If we are weak in prayers, if anything makes us weak, because I know sometimes it's so difficult for us to kneel down and look up to God, especially when we do the wrong thing. It's so difficult. But the Bible says we should come to the throne of grace boldly and ask for forgiveness. Let us put aside anything that stops us from praying and asking God. And let us remember, no matter how far we have gone, no matter how bad the situation is, no matter what people say about that situation, if all hope is lost, like in the case of Jonah and Lazarus. No matter how many our adversaries are, like in the case of Asa and the king of Ethiopia, let us remember the Lord and let us go on our knees and ask God for help. And Jesus Christ assures us that God will help us and God will deliver us.